Jesus has been having this interaction with the disciples we've been looking at now for several weeks with the Pharisees and others present. It began with the woman caught in adultery, and then it went on from there to him talking about who he was and the deliverance, that he was the light of the world, and those who follow him won't walk in darkness. And this back and forth and back and forth, and we left off a couple weeks ago in verse 30 where many believed on him. Many people said, "This is the Christ, this is the Messiah, this is God in the flesh." In verse 31, Jesus now addresses those Jews which believed on him. In other words, we have to take this in context. Who Jesus is speaking to is people who say, "I believe in Jesus." That is who he's speaking to. So if you are here today and you would say, "I believe in Jesus," Jesus is talking directly to you. One of the big problems we have when it comes to anything in the Bible is we say, "Wow, that's great. Somebody needs to tell my wife that." That's kind of the attitude we have. Man, somebody sure needs to tell so-and-so what we heard this morning in church. If you say you are a believer in Jesus, what we're looking at today is specifically directly for you. Now, I know some of y'all may not be believers in Christ, but there were people observing this that were not believers in Christ. In fact, many of the ones who said they believed in Jesus were not believers in Christ and were not born again. So this applies to all of us, but specifically to those who say, "I believe in Jesus." Jesus says this, "If." If is a very small word in almost every language, but it sure has a lot of meaning attached to it. He says, "If." He's going to say, "If, then." In other words, if you meet a certain condition, then something else is true. If you do not meet that condition, then that something else is not true. If ye, the word ye there is singular. This is speaking directly to you. This is not y'all. He's speaking directly to each individual who says, "I believe in Jesus Christ." He says, "If you continue." The idea of continuing is something that you're presently doing and will be doing in the future. It speaks of a direction of life, a way of life. It's something that's going to be repeated continuously over and over again for the duration of your life. If you, who say you believe in Jesus, continue for the rest of your life, you're doing this repeatedly over and over and over. What is the continuing? In my word. What does that mean? That you are living in accordance with the teachings of Jesus Christ and His Word. You are obeying His Word. You are reading His Word, studying His Word, listening to His Word, and obeying His Word. That's what He says. If you live a life that is studying God's Word and obeying God's Word, then are you my disciples? And then He uses this word in English, which is indeed. Which is two English words combined, in indeed, and simply means in action or in truth or in reality. What Jesus says this, y'all say you believe in me, talk's cheap. If you do what I tell you to, then it's real. That's what he says. Which is exactly what James says, by the way. What does James say? Faith without works is dead. What's dead? The faith is dead. Now, what we're going to be looking at here is one of the greatest errors that is in Baptist churches, a fundamental error, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because what has been taught is that if you say, "I believe in Jesus," you go to heaven when you die. If you walk down front and pray a prayer, if you say, "I really want to be a Christian," if you say, "I made my decision for Jesus," if you say, "I profess Jesus as Savior and Lord," then you are going to heaven when you die. Not according to Jesus Christ. Who is the one who continues in His Word? You know, I've heard, and it's been taught in Baptist churches, this two-stage salvation. You can get Jesus as Savior, but you don't get Him as Lord. And later on, if you want to be a super special Christian, then you ask Jesus to be Lord of your life and you let Him be Lord. Jesus is Lord and Savior. He is Savior and Lord. There is no mixing and matching and choosing one or the other. If you do not continue in His Word, you are not really saved. Period. Many will say in that day, "Lord, Lord," and they'll say, "Depart from me. I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, lawless ones, people who don't keep my word. Is that not what Jesus says? You see, somehow people have got this idea that I can get my fire insurance, I can get saved, but that doesn't mean I have to obey Jesus. And Jesus says, why do you call me Lord and don't do the things I tell you to do? But people believe this. I'm on my way to heaven, but I can ignore everything Jesus said, and if I don't want to do it, I don't have to. If you do not continue in his word, you're not his disciple. That's just point blank period. Jesus doesn't leave any room for error or doubt on this. In fact, it's what the rest of Scripture teaches. I've heard James, where it talks about, you know, if a man says he has works, and then talks about the works and the faith and all that, and it says faith without works is dead. I've heard people say this: now that you're a Christian, you need to act like it. It doesn't work that way. If you're not acting like it, it's because you're not a Christian. That's the truth. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away. New things take their place. If you do not follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, you are on your way to hell. That's why Jesus speaks of the narrow way and the broad way. People say, well, I believe in Jesus. Then why do you not believe anything he said and anything he taught? And why do you not obey him? And why do you not follow his teachings? Jesus himself said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Indeed means reality. There's a lot of fake Christians out there. There's a lot of people who say I'm a Christian, and it's a lie. What Jesus is showing here is what the rest of Scripture teaches, and that is that faith will produce works. If you are born again, you are a new creature. If you have been saved by grace, you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. And by the way, this is just logical. If you believe the building's on fire, you leave the building. If you say, I believe the building's on fire, and you sit here, you don't believe the building's on fire. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that he and he alone judges at the end of the world and decides who goes to heaven and who goes to hell, you'll do what he says. And if you say, I believe in him and don't do what he says, then you don't believe. It's a lie. But then he says next, verse 32, and this is very important. And ye, again, singular, who is the ye here? This is the one who believes in Jesus, continues in his word, and is a true disciple, will know the truth. What happens? As you follow Jesus, as you continue in his word, as you obey his word, what do you find out? The truth. Who is the truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. So again, Jesus is one of those, he teaches on such a simple level, yet it's so profound. Jesus says, if you walk with the truth, you'll know the truth. Duh. If you obey the truth and spend time with the truth and continue in the truth and study the truth, guess what you'll know? The truth. But I want to stop here. If you do not continue in the Word of God, do you know the truth? No. You cannot know the truth. If you do not continue in the teachings of Jesus Christ, it is impossible for you to know the truth. And this is huge. This is huge for people here who are not believers in Christ and people who are believers in Christ, because here's what happens. Everyone, you know, you're the saying, everybody's got, you know, opinions are like armpits. Everybody's got a couple and they all stink. Everybody's got opinions. Everyone's got opinions on everything. We have opinions on government. We have opinions on how you raise kids, how many kids you should have, what your marriage should look like. We have opinions on dating and courtship. We have opinions on elders and deacons and membership and church and Sunday school. We all have opinions. But here is the truth. If you are not continuing in the Word of God and walking in obedience to Jesus Christ, you believe a lie and you don't know the truth, and you wouldn't know if it hits you right between the eyes. Think about that for a minute. What that means is when someone comes to you and says, we need to do this, you need to ask them, where did you find it in the Word of God? And are you obeying the Word of God? Because otherwise, they are a liar and do not know the truth. How many of y'all have ever been criticized for your Christian beliefs? I've been reading some articles this past week, and you know, these people sound really good. They have these really good arguments for why you shouldn't, you know, believe in creation, why you shouldn't spank your kids, why you shouldn't do a whole bunch of things. why you shouldn't do this in church and do that in church, and why you shouldn't be this way or that way, and why you shouldn't have a lot of kids, why you shouldn't do this and all these other things, and why you shouldn't raise your kids this way and shouldn't homeschool. They have all of these reasons for them, and then you look at it and say, wait a minute. This person does not continue in the Word of God. They cannot know the truth. Why would I listen to someone who doesn't know the truth? You say, well, what I'm saying is true. Not if it's contrary to the Word of God, and not if it's not found in the Word of God. Listen, people are going to be critical of everything that we do as Christians and everything we do in the church. And we would just ask, well, are you continuing in the Word of God? This teaching of Jesus Christ, are you going to obey it? This teaching of Jesus Christ, are you going to obey it? And if they say no, then we say, we don't listen to you because you don't know the truth. Listen, why would you ask a blind man for directions? Why would you ask a liar to divine reality for you? Why would you ask someone who's ignorant to explain life to you? Why would you ask someone who believes a lie to tell you what is true? But here's the truth. We are so arrogant that we believe our way is the right way, even if our way is based upon a lie. And even if we do not follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, we believe we know the truth, when according to Jesus, you can't know the truth. You can't. Now, this is an encouragement for Christians who are continuing the Word of God. You know what that means? Ignore the lies. Ignore the criticism. Ignore what family members, friends, neighbors, others say, and full speed ahead, follow Jesus Christ. I've heard people say, well, you don't like what you do in your church. Well, I've seen the fruit of your life and the fruit of your church. I'll keep going the way I'm going because it's found in the Word of God. If I continue in the Word of God, I'll know the truth. That's the truth. And yet people want to be critical of things that take place in your life, in your marriage, the way you raise your kids, your beliefs on church. Just ask one simple question. These teachings of Jesus Christ, are you going to continue in them and obey them? And if the answer is no, then they cannot know the truth. They can't. Let me ask you a simple question. How many of you, if we were to go back 10 years ago and tell you what you would believe 10 years later down the road, would think that the person that you became 10 years later was a complete idiot? I know I would. Some of the things I believed 15 years ago, things that I believe today, 15 years ago, I thought were stupid and only idiots believed them. And you know what happened? Well, God didn't deal with those issues. He just dealt with other little sins in my life, going to people I had problems with, discussing with them, forgiving people that wronged me, letting my yes be yes, my no be no, and all these little things. And you know what happened? Step by step by step, the things that I thought were stupid, I found out to be true. I did. And the things that I swore I would never do and never believe are the very things I do and believe today. Because the me of 15 years ago didn't know the truth. I didn't. You know why? Well, I had just begun to continue in God's Word. I thought I knew it all. And then people would point out Bible verses and I go, ooh, I don't know what to do with that. And they wouldn't let me ignore them. And I had to study them. And guess what happens? As you continue in God's Word, guess what you'll find? You'll find out the truth. Things that you think today are crazy, guess what? In 10 years, that may be the way you live your life if you continue in God's Word. You may look at that Christian family and say, I can't believe they would have that many kids. I can't believe they'd homeschool their kids. I can't believe they'd do this. That church down the road, I can't believe they do that with their membership. And you know what you may find? If you continue in God's Word 10, 15, 20 years from now, you may be doing the exact same thing you thought was crazy. You know why? Because if you continue in the Word and you walk in the light, guess what happens? When your eyes adjust to the light, you begin to see things a whole lot differently than they were in the dark. And when you begin to know the truth, all of a sudden it clicks. So if you're a Christian, don't listen to the criticism from people who don't follow Jesus. They're blind. They don't know the truth. Smile, be polite, and move on. If you are here and you see Christian people doing stuff you disagree with, you need to ask yourself this question. Do you disagree with it because of the Word of God, or do you disagree with it because it's your opinion that's not founded on anything? Follow Jesus and you'll find the truth. But then Jesus says something very interesting. The truth, who's the truth? Jesus Christ, will set you free. Now verse 32 is taken out of context a ton. And that is, if you know the truth will set you free. How many of y'all have ever used this with your kids? You come in and somebody broke something. And you got two kids. Okay? And you get down your motivator and you say, which one of you broke it? Whoever tells the truth will be set free. That's not what Jesus is saying here. People use this when they go to court. Well, if you just tell the judge the truth. Tell the truth and the truth will set you free. How many of you ever heard that one before? Politicians stand up and they come clean about their affair. Well, then you know the truth will set you free. This is not teaching if you tell the truth, you can escape the consequences for your sin. It says if you know the truth, it doesn't say tell the truth, and the freedom here is not freedom from punishment. Now, is there Bible verses that the one who confesses his sin and forsakes them will find mercy? Yes. Should you encourage your children to tell the truth and be gracious and merciful to them if they confess their sins? Yes, 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 yes. But use the right Bible verse, not the wrong one. Okay, there's plenty of Bible verses on telling the truth. This one is not about telling the truth. This one's about knowing the truth. You say free. Free from what? Free from a spanking? Free from being grounded? Free from jail? Free from being impeached? Free from what? Well, verse 33, that's the same question they had. They said, we're Abraham's children and we're never in bondage to any man. How do you say you may be free? They say, we're free people. Look, man, there's no slave, there's no chains. There's no taskmaster. I own my own business. I own my own house. I'm not working in the fields with somebody driving me around. I'm free. What do you mean we'll be free? Jesus then says this, verily, verily, I say to you, whoever commits sin is the servant or the slave of sin. What does it mean to be a slave? A slave means someone else owns you. They literally own you. And you get up, not when you want to. You get out of bed when they tell you to. You don't go to bed when you're tired. You go to bed when they tell you to. You don't get to choose what you eat. You eat the food you are given, if you're given any food at all. You don't get to choose where you live. You live where they tell you to live. You don't get to choose what you do all day. What you do all day is what you're told to do all day. And if you ever try to run from your taskmaster, guess what? It gets worse. He will beat you and he will drag you back and he'll make you work twice as hard. That's what slavery is. Someone owns you and you do what you're told. And if you ever try to escape, they will beat you into submission and they will make it 10 times worse than it was. You know, it reminds me, I was watching a video on how to, this is years ago when I had a dog, it was teaching how to make a dog heal. And so this lady gets out this leash, it's about 3-4 feet long, and puts a choke collar on it. She's got this really energetic, big dog. And it's this little old lady, and she puts a choke collar on that dog. And she says, watch, I'm just going to walk in a square. In about 20 minutes, this dog will walk beside me and I will drop the leash and it will still follow me. And she did. Because the first time that dog went, she yanked. Its tongue went out. And she drug it back. She yanked it off its feet. It rolled on the ground back up to her feet. It got up. What happened? And she did that about 10, 20 times. And guess what that dog realized? I better walk by this lady or it's going to be really bad for me. And she dropped the leash, and that dog walked beside her everywhere she went. Why? Because it knew what happened if you tried to run away. That is called slavery. That is slavery. Jesus is not speaking about political slavery, economic slavery, or physical slavery. Jesus is not speaking here about being drug away from your family and made to pick cotton. He's not talking about that type of slavery. What he's talking about is being owned by Satan and doing his will. That's what he's speaking of. You say, that's not me. Oh yeah? Let's talk about drunkenness, drug use. Let's talk about temper. Let's talk about laziness. Let's talk about gossip, lying, lust. I'm going to go to bed. No, you're not. You're going to stay up and look at porn because porn owns you and you do what it tells you to do. I'm going to get up and go to work. I'm going to get up and go early and go hunting. No, you're not, because laziness and sloth own you and you do what you're told. You know what? I'm going to go have a good time with my family Friday night. No, you're not. You are owned by drunkenness. And when he says get drunk, you go get drunk. I'm going to really have a good date with my wife. No, you're owned by your temper. And when your temper says yell, you yell. Don't believe me? Try to stop. Try to stop gossiping. Try to stop hatred towards someone else. You know what? I'm just going to forget about that person. No, you're not. Your hatred is going to wake you up in the middle of the night and make you think of them and make you hate them because it owns you. You don't believe me? Run away. How many of y'all ever seen an alcoholic try to quit? They go 2 weeks and then they go get drunker than they've ever been drunk before. Why? Because it owns them. Just as your sin owns you. You know what? I'm a New Year's resolution. I'm not going to look at porn. Yep, in about 2 days, your master's going to come call and you're going to look at stuff you never thought you'd ever look at. It's true. I'm not going to lust after women. Yeah, wait till you go to Walmart and that girl walks by in a miniskirt. And guess what? Your master's going to grab your eyes and turn them. Try to disobey your master and see what happens. The praise of men. Pride. Lying. You are owned by your lying tongue. You are owned by your pride. You are owned by your hatred, your refusal to forgive. You are owned by your temper. You are owned by marijuana. You are owned by your body image. You are owned by greed. I'm going to go on a family vacation. Not when your master greed finds out. You know, I'm going to take the day off. Not when your master greed finds out. You will do what he tells you to do. Don't believe me? Try to escape. Try to stop cursing. See how long it lasts. And you know what you're going to do when that first curse word comes out of your mouth? You're going to curse because you cursed. I've seen it. Why? Because you're owned. Here are people who hate Jesus, and no matter how hard they try, they still hate him. These are people who are hypocrites. And no matter how hard they try not to be a hypocrite, guess what happens? They just become bigger and bigger hypocrites. Whoever commits sin is a servant of sin. Oh, I'm going to overcome. It's the new year. We're all going to overcome gluttony. Yeah, what's going to happen in about 5 days? You're going to go eat a whole gallon of ice cream. You're going to go back for seconds or thirds and say, forget all this dieting stuff. You know why? Because you're owned. Apostle Paul talks about the person whose God is their stomach. We are owned. That is slavery that he's speaking of. Notice verse 35, because this is huge. The servant or the slave does not abide in the house forever. My wife's grandparents own an old farm in Alabama. So old, in fact, that there actually is two homes on the piece of property. There is the old farmhouse, and then there's another little house called the Holland House. And it was built, and it's the house that slaves lived in. You know why? Because slaves weren't allowed to stay in the master's house. They had to have their own place. What has Jesus been telling the Pharisees? Where I'm going, you can't come. Why? Go read Revelation chapter 21. Go read 1 Corinthians 5 and 6. Go read Galatians 5. And guess what you'll find out? sinners are not allowed in heaven. Liars, fornicators, proud, adulterers, drunks. You name whatever sin you want to name. And you know what? Whoever lies or makes a lie is not there. Whoever sins is not there. You know why? Because this is the master's house and slaves don't stay in it. Jesus is going to heaven, which is the master's house, and slaves are not allowed there. They have their own place, and it's a place called hell. People who are slaves, not physical slaves, not people who were stolen away from their families and sold like cattle, not those people. Many times the very people who stole them and sold them were slaves. Those who are slaves to their sin cannot be in heaven, will not be in heaven, and will never be allowed in heaven. This is why Jesus says, if you do not forgive, you will not be forgiven. This is why Jesus says, if you do not continue in my word, you're not my disciple. Oh, it's just a little sin. Does it really matter what type of slave you are? Slaves aren't allowed in the master's house. Now, if you think about this for a minute, you know what this teaches? Our goose is cooked. Our only hope is not that someone would come and save us from hell, but that someone would come and save us from slavery. Save us from sin. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. Jesus doesn't bring liars to heaven. Jesus brings liars out of their lies. Jesus doesn't take homosexuals to heaven. He brings homosexuals out of their sin. He doesn't take porn addicts to heaven. He brings them out of their pornography. He doesn't take drunks to heaven. He brings them out of their drunkenness. He doesn't take hypocrites to heaven. He brings them out of their hypocrisy. He doesn't bring arrogant people to heaven, bitter people to heaven, mean people to heaven, hateful, spiteful people to heaven. He changes them and makes them new creatures. And that's why he says this: the Son abides forever. You know, I'm 31 years old. But you know what I have in my pocket? This right here is a key to my parents' house. And anytime I want to, I can drive to Jacksonville. I don't even have to knock. And I can walk in my parents' house. You know why? I'm their son. Anytime I want to. Jesus does not have to be worried about acceptance before God. Why? Because he's a son. You all know this. You can go home to your parents' house. Most of you don't even knock anymore. You just walk right in. You may be 60 years old, but you know what? When you go to your mom's house, you just open the door and walk in. That's just the way it is. Why? Because you're a son. You're always welcome. The only way that you can ever be accepted before God is if you are taken from being a slave to sin and made acceptable before God as a true son. And what does it say in verse 36? If the Son, therefore, shall make you free. Free from what? Free from sin. Notice this, though. You will be free indeed. What is indeed there? Well, that literally means in action. In reality. In truth. This is not a figment of your imagination. This is not the guy who says, I'm sober, but gets drunk every time. I remember talking to a guy that was in AA. And he called his AA instructor one day. And it was not the day they had an AA meeting. And his AA instructor was drunk. You know what? He stood up in the meeting on Tuesday night and said, I'm free, and got drunk every night the rest of the week. He wasn't free. It was a lie. If Jesus sets someone free, though, they will be free in reality. Now, this is where I want to spend our focus this morning. There is a lie that has been preached from many pulpits and has been called the gospel, but it is not good news at all. And that is this: Jesus came to save you from hell. And you should try, after he saves you from hell, to be a really good Christian, to do really good things. But the truth be told is you're a sinner, and you'll be in that sin, you'll struggle with that sin the rest of your life until Jesus comes. And then when you go to heaven, then you get freedom and victory from sin. And that is a lie straight from the pits of hell. That is not what Jesus Christ came to do. What did Keith read this morning? What did Simon read this morning? He came to set at liberty, to set captives free. You know, the author of Hebrews, in speaking about the children of Israel, this is what he says. When they came to the promised land, they didn't go into the promised land. What does he say they didn't enter? They entered not in because of unbelief. They did not believe it was possible for God to deliver them from their enemies. And that right there describes the American church and what is supposedly called the gospel and preached from most Baptist pulpits. I heard it my whole life. You know what? You're a Christian, but you're a boy, you're a male, you're going to struggle with lust the rest of your life, just get used to it. And that is a lie straight from the pits of hell. There is freedom and victory over sexual lust, men. Complete freedom. But most of you don't even believe it. And you enter not in because of unbelief. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin. There is freedom from hatred, freedom from a temper, freedom from cursing, freedom from substances. There is freedom from slavery in Jesus Christ. But you don't believe it. You believe that he just comes and changes your eternal destiny and leaves you in the ditch. I used to be a lifeguard. I never had to save anyone. But let me ask you this. If I told you that I saved Billy Bob and you looked out and Billy Bob was in the deep end drowning, what would you say? Saved him from what? But that is what we teach our Savior does. He saves men, but he leaves them drowning in their sin, drowning in their pride, drowning in their gluttony, drowning in their lies, drowning in their gossip, drowning in their hypocrisy, drowning in their self-loathing, drowning in everything. But don't worry, he's a great Savior. Is that not what we teach people? You know, there's a book in my office. I have never read the book. I know absolutely nothing about the book. I don't even know if I've opened the front page, but it's one of my favorite books because I love the title. I've never read it, and I don't know if I ever will read it because I don't think anything in the pages can live up to the title of the book. The title of the book is Your God is Too Small. I'm here to tell you, your Savior is too small. You serve a Savior that can save you from hell but can't save you from your tongue. Your Savior is too small. My Savior can save you from your tongue. My Savior can save you from your lust, from your pride, from your greed. My Savior can deliver you. That is why he was born. And that is why he died. And that is why he rose again. To set people at liberty who were enslaved. Once a drug addict, always a drug addict. That is a lie. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. You just become a recovering alcoholic. That is a lie. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Liars don't go to heaven. You know who goes to heaven? People who were liars, and Jesus Christ saved them from themselves and their sin and their lying and made them like unto himself, someone who speaks the truth. Same with drunks, fornicators, adulterers, you name it. But we live in this mythical world of unbelief where there is a Savior who cannot deliver. Jesus Christ is a Savior from sin. And there is freedom from sin. there is victory over sin. I talk to people and they say, how can I ever change? Well, you can't, but Jesus Christ can change you. You know this. Christians, you know this. When you first got saved, what happened? Well, a whole bunch of things just disappeared and you didn't even try. And then all of a sudden this big thing hits you and you forgot that Jesus could actually save you from it. I've known people who got saved and you know what? Their cursing went away. And you talk to them 2 weeks later, man, God's cleaned up your mouth. What? What do you mean? You don't curse anymore. Oh, come to think of it, no, I don't. Well, that's pretty cool. What did he do? He saved you from your sin. But oh, he can't save you from your porn. That's a lie. I remember talking to a young man. We were in the Sunnies over on 39th. We were going out to lunch, and he'd been struggling with pornography. And he came in, and he looked like an idiot. He had the biggest grin I've ever seen on a human being, and he was almost skipping in to the restaurant. You know, this is not the way normal 21, 22-year-old people act. And then he sat down and said, how you doing? He said, great. So what happened? He said, I'm free. I can look a woman square in the eye and not lust after her. Do you not believe me? Do you not believe that Jesus Christ can do that to an individual? People say, you know what? I'm just going to struggle with racism the rest of my life. That's a lie. I read an article of a man who was so racist he was a member of the KKK. Active member of the KKK, and he got saved. And he went on to become the first white elder in an all-black church. That is what my Savior does to people who are enslaved. He sets them free. So the question that I have for you today is this. Are you a slave? Would you come to Jesus Christ for freedom? You say, well, I'm already a Christian, but I can't seem to overcome this sin. That's because you can't. You need the Son to set you free. Would you believe that Jesus Christ can set you free? And would you do whatever it takes to be delivered? But I must warn you, this whole passage goes full circle. The one who stays in slavery to sin is the one who doesn't know the Son and doesn't know the truth and does not continue in God's Word and is not a believer in Christ. Don't believe me? Go read Revelation 21. Go read 1 Corinthians 6. Go read Galatians 5. Go read 1 John about the ones who stay in darkness and stay in their sin. They're lost. Am I teaching Christian perfectionism? No. Because behind door number one is 10 million other sins. As soon as you are delivered from one, 10 sins you did not even know existed will stare you square in the face. And Jesus Christ will deliver you from every single one of them. And as soon as you get through door number two, you will find 10,000 more. Jesus Christ is a great Savior who delivers those who are enslaved, whether it is sexual sin, whether it is greed, whether it is pride, whether it is hatred, hypocrisy, lying, whatever your sin may be, what you need is Jesus Christ. He can and will change you. It doesn't say the Son, therefore, might make you free. It says will. He will. Jesus said, whoever's heavy burdened, heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest. Would you come to Jesus Christ? Would you come confessing your sin? It's amazing how people can read Scripture and then just completely twist it. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from everything but racism, everything but pride, everything but sexual lust. No. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you come to Jesus Christ and confess your sin, He will deliver you. We sing, He is able to deliver you. Unless it's really bad, and then you'll stay in it till you die. That's the way we live, is it not? Would you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you continue in His Word? And as you study His Word, would you obey His Word and come to know the truth? And that truth is the Son is a great Savior. And if the Son sets you free, you will be free.